The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you and your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the verses of Psalm 80. The lower voices read the light verses, and higher voices read the bold verses. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you are enthroned on the cherubim.
In your presence,
restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the bridge of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh at us forward.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, breathe in our hearts, our Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out all the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated and invite the children to come forward. Legos, Pokemon, chocolates, oh my! Well, what those calendars are doing is helping you count down the days, right? Until?
Christmas.
Until Christmas. Yeah. Are they nice to have? Yeah, because not only do you get Legos and chocolate. Yeah, and Pokemon and those
Pokemon
kind of things.
25,
yeah, sometimes some of them will give you that bonus of being the 25th day. Mm-hmm. Well, you can use those to keep track. You can count the time. But he's making a list. He's checking it twice.
Careful.
He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. What do you think of that? Does it make you a little worried?
I'm still going to ask for a squishy anyway.
You've been naughty, but you know you're going to ask for some stuff anyway. That's fair. Oh, well, you can be pointing out the naughty person. Yeah. That's not for you to decide. Well, part of this season, right, I don't want you to be worried that he's checking his list and you might be on the wrong side.
The whole thing is just a legend.
Because I think...
I'm pretty sure it's actually onions.
Onions?
I know.
You're going to have to tell me that story. No, you're not. But this is a good season to be just who you are. You can prepare for Christmas and for the coming of the baby Jesus and have your Advent calendars just being you. Just doing what you already know what you're supposed to do. And how do you prepare? How do you prepare for Christmas? You're getting ready.
Get a Christmas tree.
Get a Christmas tree. See, we did that.
Put all the ornaments.
Christmas lights. We're going to put some ornaments on afterwards.
Set up our tiny tree that's as tall as Dick Avery or something you have for it on it.
Yeah. You know what to do. And that's what Jesus is saying in his message today to his disciples. Is, I know things are scary out there, but you already know what to do. Can you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you as we wait for the coming of Jesus, that you have shown us the way, that you love us, that you care for us, and that we are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Back to you.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
I'm not getting out of order. That's kind of an inside joke for those who are tuned to the page-turning and liturgical calendar year. We move from centering Matthew's Gospels to Mark's. Leaves have stopped changing color so much as falling off into the ground. But the pyramids have changed color, as you'll see, to blue. It's quite beautiful in here. But darkness dominates now the majority of the hours of our days. And the darkest day is yet to come, with the solstice to occur the 21st of this month. So is it really a happy New Year? Metaphorically, darker events shade and shape our news. I don't think left, right, or center, biased, or indifferent, that there's a lot of shiny, bright heralding of joy on our TVs, in our papers, over our radio speakers, or lighting up our screens right about now. Nor was there much joy to be found when Mark committed the voice of Jesus' so-called little apocalypse to his gospel. There's got to be better news than, oh, well, it's just a little apocalypse. Stars falling from the sky, the moon hidden from sight, just minor hiccups like that. This apocalypse, or a revealing in the ancient Greek, draws on the earlier vision of the prophet Daniel in another, much longer ago, terrible time. There is nothing new under the sun, light or dark, except that there is a new perspective to be had on these things. In Mark's recounting, Jesus uses this hazy coming in clouds imagery from Daniel, and on its heels, another image of gathering all his people together. You are not alone amid this darkness. This is good news. No matter how cleverly things are obscured, God sees. And God brings tender care and comforting vision to God's people, even when we cannot see. Remember, Jesus is saying, remember, you know how to tell the time. Long ago, people didn't carry handheld computers, not even wristwatches. Sundials were not precise like an atomic clock. Those are quite precise. They have scientifically exacted leap seconds. Find in the news every now and again that they're adding every couple few years or so. But back then, and even now sometimes, in an agrarian realm, people are well attuned to the seasons, the moon's cycles, the floods and the drought cycles. They say nowadays, if you're buried in your indoor and digital worlds, a bit too much activities behind closed doors and walls to regain some perspective, go outside. Touch grass, they say. Touch a tree. I become quite fond of saying this to my kids, especially one kid. And it's an easier sell than what I would prefer, which is to go take a lap, run at least once around the house. Really, best to take as many laps as you need to burn off some energy. This Advent, I look forward to the coming of the Nativity celebration of Jesus' birth. I don't as much to winter break from school, and cabin fever, and little dudes climbing walls. Well, fig trees were and they are, more ubiquitous in the eastern Mediterranean than they are here. You can find some, sure. But Jesus more likely would have taken us... Jesus more likely would have us take notice of the rhodies, the daffodils, the tulips. Some of you with greener thumbs would understand this better than some of us who kill cactuses. But in any case, there are certain familiarities from which we can draw on. When all is unsettled and not as we feel that it should be, it's good to pause, to stop and remember what still tethers us, to remain grounded, not get caught up in every wind that blows every which way, coldlessly and carelessly, and taking us off course. Touch grass. No, really, touch a tree. That's better. More natural than a monoculture, manufactured lawn. But if that's all you got, take what you can get. But we have these things that keep us grounded, that stimulate our senses. But when Jesus declares the eternal nature of his words, that they will never pass away, he is emphatic. When the Greek scholar Rob Mayaos translates this word, parerkomai, I was not a Greek scholar, I think I'm butchering that. But he explains this connotation is not that of a wishy-washy, maybe, possibly, perhaps, promise that isn't really a promise. But it's that of no way, never going to happen. The same word appears in its converse sense again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. As in your old sin and baggage, and failure and fear and shame and misdirected hate, they're all gone, passed away, not coming back, no, never, to haunt you in the same way. You may walk away from it at any time. Today is, and tomorrow is, a new day. Elizabeth Struthers Malbin in the Women's Bible Commentary speaks of this new day as an assured future, but an unknown time. So as a result, we are directed. Keep alert. Keep awake. Not as if waiting for monsters to jump out from the closet. No, these everlasting words of Jesus recognize the monsters are already out. They're not even lurking in the shadows. They've turned on the bright overhead light, lowered the boom mic, and they're broadcasting into our minds, our homes, into our hands. And they're preying on our neighbors and people we love as well as those we see from afar. Yes, they have their own YouTube channels, their own Instagram pages, their own Snapchat. Sorry, Liana, but it's out there. Our watchfulness is not that of rushing to prepare a defense. It is to watch not for what is coming next, so much as who is coming. Prepare for the Lord, the Taizai song chants. Be strong. Take heart. We may be strong because we can take heart. We can trust Jesus' words that do not pass away. We can rely on what we know to prepare. Scripture, prayer, song, spirit, grace, love, community. All the things that the Lord gives us to bring us hope. These have not passed away. No way. Not ever going to happen. Some of these things shift in unsettling ways for sure. But our preparation includes the important work of listening. For the alarm bell, yes, we tried that already this morning. Maybe once, maybe twice. But before that, we listen to the still, small voice that returns us to what we know to be the core of our faith, to what we need, to what we cannot live without, to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was and is to come. Amen.